Welcome to the Catskills Renaissance, a show that aims to introduce you to all that is unique and interesting in this incredibly beautiful and relatively unspoiled area of New York State. My co-host is Lee Criseau.
I'm right here at the controls. I may not be working them right, but I'm at the controls.
Yes, you got them straight now.
I have.
So we have some very special guests today. Our son stopped in, so he's going to sit in. His name is Sean. Say hi, Sean.
Hello.
Almost a year ago, a wonderful business opened in Port Jervis. It's called Breathless Raw Live Juice Bar. Breathless Raw Live Juice Bar. It sounds wonderful. And we had known these people because they used to be in, where did they used to be in?
Milford.
They used to be in Milford, and we used to go down there once in a while and have their juices and all their other stuff. And then one day we're walking past, or I was driving past actually, and I saw the sign said Breathless. I said, I know that name. Did they open another store? I wasn't sure. Anyway, we went in there and it was the same people. So
right.
we're really fortunate to have one of the owners here today, Nick Dillon from Breathless Raw Live Juice Bar. Welcome to our show.
Thanks for having me, Rio. Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. Tell us about how you got into Raw Live Juice, and tell us about like your history of being in Milford first and then coming. What made you come to Port Jervis? What happened in Milford?
So we got into, and thanks for having us on the show, we got into the brand, which is our family brand, about 2 decades ago. And our backstory begins on the streets of New York City as a vendor for bath and body plant-based products that my wife Dawn Marie made and we sold on the streets. During that time, you know, we transferred from what would be considered regular eating habits to vegan, vegetarian. We lived in New York City at that time. Dawn Marie, who grew up in Milford, Pennsylvania as a child with her aunt and uncle, who owned a home there in the 70s, introduced me to Milford. So we've been married almost 3 decades, and we would visit Milford on weekends, long holidays, as an escape from New York City. As our family expanded, we're parents, we wanted a better quality of life and a more natural environment to raise our family in.
Right.
So we considered Milford as an option. We moved to Milford about 17 years ago. And when we moved there, we found very quickly that it lacked the conveniences that we had in New York City, being vegan, vegetarian, being a consumer of organic products and that sort of thing, being able to visit farmers markets on a regular basis. So because we're entrepreneurial by nature and we own other businesses outside of Breathless, we thought that it was an opportunity to create in Milford at the time a health food environment that could help us gain access to the things we were familiar with in New York City. And an opportunity came up in Milford at the Apple Valley properties, where their restaurant and their traditional shops are. And we took on a space there. We opened that as Breathless Raw Live Natural Market, Vegan Market. The ideology behind that was to sort of create a local mini health food environment where you can get the things that were beneficial if that was your lifestyle, or introduce those options to the community. And we were the first at the time to bring anything of that nature to the community. We also missed the farmers market experience, so we started speaking very quickly with other businesses and so about the possibility of creating a farmers market environment in Milford, because there was none at the time.
Wow.
So we were sort of one of the pioneers for what is now the Milford Farmers Market, which occurs every spring and summer season.
It's wonderful.
And, you know, the Breathless platform there in Milford offered a lot of items, a lot of opportunities to partner with local farms and local businesses and local artisans. And we were there for 12 years.
Did you find that in the beginning that people were pretty much into health, or was it a matter of educating them and say, hey, we're here, you can feel better, you can be healthy?
In the beginning, at the onset, we were sort of unorthodox because no one was really interested in the health alternatives. It was still an environment, I think, not just in Milford, but nationally, where people did not really pay much attention or more attention to their health. So in the beginning, I would say we were well ahead of our time when we opened. You know, those first 2 years were very difficult for us because our previous businesses were not retail. It was more service-oriented, renovations, etc. So we were new to the retail environment, and we invested heavily. We've never been fortunate to have a business partner, so it's always mom and pops, the old school way. And we invested heavily in product that we thought would move quickly because in New York City, everyone is familiar with these organic options. We found that Milford wasn't quite ready for that. There were very few people who even understood the benefits of vegan or vegetarian or non-GMO options.
Wow.
So in the beginning, it was a bit tough for us. And, you know, we had to think about how we could sustain the investment into
the store. Did you have enough to sustain you for those 2 years? Or
Not through Breathless itself. So because we owned another type of business, which was renovations, we were able to sustain the store balancing it with the parent company, which would have been Knickknacks Creative Interiors at the time. And as a musician and someone who traveled not just for music but also with renovations, or when I was working in the city where, you know, we became very popular, our work as Knickknacks Creative Interiors was featured in the New York Times twice and a lot of like digital internet platforms for renovations. You know, we felt it was a need to think of how we would be able to not just sustain ourselves within that 2 year period, but beyond 2 years.
Right.
You know, while still engaged in a sort of like a year to year lease arrangement. So we didn't have a long term lease. So we were sort of growing and going as we went along the way.
So after that 2 years, did it start to build up?
No, it took about, honestly, it took us about 7 years to start really seeing. We never saw a profit, you know, but we didn't enter that industry or that service for profit. We entered it because we were passionate about educating people and sharing what we were learning about being the benefits of being vegan and vegetarian and clean eating and clean water and those things.
You kept the faith.
Yeah, so we were passionate about that because, you know, I'm from Trinidad and Tobago and we were raised with elders, and we have a disposition where we don't quit. You know, we're very hard behind the ball. You know, if we fall down, we get up and we go again. So even before we got to Milford, that had been our experience as an entrepreneur, you know, falling a lot of times, failing a few times, but licking your wounds, getting up and going again. So in the fifth and sixth year, we knew we were in trouble, you know, and we knew that even being able to maintain Breathless with our other business, that was not something that was like likely to be feasible in a long-term reality. Mm-hmm. So we were trying to figure out what could we do to put a different spin on the store and bring in more interested people, because the items that we were retailing were not really connecting in a way that we thought it would initially right away. So, you know, I thought about, as someone who travels, as someone who's in the city a lot and supports juice bars in the city, why not create a juice bar environment in the store footprint, which was significantly larger than the one we have in Port Jervis? Why not create a juice bar environment that can bring in
So when you started, you didn't start with a juice bar?
No, the juice bar was not part of our original footprint.
Oh, okay.
The juice bar came in like the middle, the fifth and sixth year, when we, you know, we were never making a profit, but we realized in order to stay there, we would have to recreate something different. You know, it couldn't be just the same tangible items. So, you know, we had a big enough footprint, and because of my renovation ability, we were able to create what I now call a micro juice bar, within the space. That's the one you guys would have visited.
Yes.
And that's what really saved Breathless and helped us evolve to where we are right now in Port Jervis. If we hadn't done the juice bar, I don't think we would have been having the conversation about Breathless now.
Then after you started getting a little success with the juice bar, brought it up a little, why did you actually leave Milford?
Well, as part of the evolution, you know, like the progression on a guitar neck, you know, you have to evolve. And in life, it's about progression and evolution. So one of the things, and we're parents, as I had said earlier, and one of the things that we know as parents is that you can't leave a great job for your children. You can leave a great legacy. So we wanted to make sure that we cemented the legacy or started to cement the legacy in a manner that the younger children that we are parents of would be able to at least have a platform to build upon that was solid, you know? And they wouldn't have to go through the initial struggles we did as, you know, self-made entrepreneurs. We would sort of try to pave the way for them if they chose to go in that direction. One of the things that we always desired during our time in Milford that we didn't have was visibility. We were located in a sort of tucked away area in Milford.
That's right, it was tucked away.
Yeah, the advertisement was never very visible.
I remember you were kind of off the street. You had to want to go to your place in order to find it.
You had to want to go to us or know about us. Right. You know, there was no foot traffic. There was no walk-in business.
Right. Yeah, Port Jervis has more traffic.
Yeah, so to Rio's question, you know, why Port Jervis? Initially, one, for visibility. We always wanted to have a second shop, but in a more visible location because we believed, we knew fully that if we were in a more visible place, our fortunes would be better. And our connectivity to the community, wherever that place would be stronger than in Milford, especially if it was a more diverse community. So at the time, just over a year ago, Milford, the Apple Valley property changed ownership. Mm-hmm. And the individual that purchased it may have had a different vision than the previous one. We don't know. But we saw it as an option, for an opportunity for us to take a leap of faith again as an entrepreneur. Mm-hmm. You know, it's very difficult to uproot yourself from a place
sure
for
is.
12 years
Definitely.
After we put so much into there. And we were just starting to peak. And then COVID happened, so we lost that peak period. And we were closed for a year because they shut down businesses and you know, so
yeah, isn't that great? They shut down a health business, things that people needed to stay healthy.
Yeah, we felt like, you know, we should have been not just our store, but anyone that was within the culture of health and wellness and juice bars, et cetera, particularly juice bars, should have been open
Definitely.
During that period. But, you know, that was out of our control. So when the ownership changed in Milford and that opportunity presented itself, we didn't have to leave Milford. You know, so for the record, we chose to leave Milford because we saw it as a chance to change things up, you know, start anew, revisit some of the ideas we had that Milford couldn't really sustain. And we started looking around for a place. We looked in a few places around Milford, like Lords Valley and, you know, Scranton and even as far as Newburgh. New York and stuff. We were looking for a place, but because we, you know, we're constrained by budget as self-made entrepreneurs, we had to be realistic. And a lot of the opportunities that were there as vacancies didn't align with the vision we had. So we were familiar with Port Jervis because there are businesses there that we've supported while we were in Milford. Friends of ours, you know, that we would visit.
Oh, so you had
support.
Friends in the area.
We had friends in the area that had moved into the area 6 years, 7 years ahead of us as part of the renaissance of Port Jervis. So we were familiar with their businesses, but not really familiar with Port Jervis.
So, Nick, we're going to take a short break, but we'll be right back where you'll continue this very interesting story about how you how you built up a business and then got knocked down by COVID like so many small businesses did. It's a heartbreak, really. You've been listening to the Catskills Renaissance on CatskillsRadioTV.com and NYTalkRadio.net. Stay with us.
My name is Lee Criso. My partner, Rio, is an author, health researcher, and promoter of adding more raw and unprocessed foods to your diet. In times like these, the best way to stay healthy is to get boosted. No! I'm not talking about the jab. I'm talking about Rio's book, Hooked on Raw, that teaches you how to boost your immune system, strive for optimum health, look better, feel better, and stay on the path to rejuvenation. The book has over 325 pages, full of power recipes along with valuable life-changing information. When you purchase Hooked on Raw for only $29.95, I'm going to also include Rio's DVD, What's Not Cooking in Rio's Kitchen, absolutely free. Go to HookedOnRaw.com to order this limited special. That's HookedOnRaw.com. You'll be glad you did. That's HookedOnRaw.com.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Catskills Renaissance on CatskillsRadioTV.com. And our guests today are our son stopped in. Sean is here. Hasn't said a word yet, though. And that's very unusual.
Yeah, very unusual.
For sure. And then our special guest, Nick Dillon, who is a co-owner of Breathless Raw Live Juice Bar, 85 Pike Street, Port Jervis. And if you haven't been there, you've got to go. It's a wonderful store. It's chock full of beautiful food, real food, whole food, healthy food.
And juices to boost your immune system.
Which we need so much in this day and age. Nick was telling us how he started in Milford, and now he found it to be an opportunity to come to Port Jervis. So continue.
Thank you, and thank you again for having us here.
Oh, you're welcome.
And Sean, thanks for sitting in. Sean can speak on his experience of the juices and the juice cleanses and the experience of the store itself at Breathless at some point in the conversation.
Yeah, but, it's great.
Thanks so much.
Yeah, it's great.
So we were talking about the transition from Milford to Port Jervis. So Dawn Marie Dillon, my wife, my beautiful wife, the name Breathless is actually her nickname and one that we gave her many decades ago. So you know, when you hear the word Breathless, it really refers to Dawn Marie.
Really?
And,
okay.
Who has been in perfect step every step of the way. You know, everything we do it as a union, as a team, in everything we do. So we found Port Jervis to be desirable because of its close proximity to Milford, because of its diversity, and because the city itself is a beautiful city, and it has so many features and benefits that we feel are still untapped. But right now the city is in the process of revitalizing itself.
Yes, you were telling me that they got a grant or
Port Jervis won a $10 million DRI grant, which is a downtown restoration.
That's wonderful.
Initiative, and they've been using it to create a renaissance of Port Jervis. So at one point in the past, Port Jervis was a very vibrant city, we heard, long before we came there.
Yeah,
and it's
actually
returning to that now.
Port Jervis, about 20 or a little over 20 years ago, they actually had two radio stations in Port Jervis in there.
That's amazing. We would love to have you guys there. Or a second station in Port Jervis too. It does need a radio station. That's one of the things we've been speaking on. And I'd mentioned to Rio, our neighbor, George Vega, Tri-State Barbershop, is working very earnestly to try to create some sort of a radio type presence.
That's wonderful. Yeah.
Well, actually, no, the transmitters are still there. It's just that they're going in other directions. They are over, they were, you know, over the air radio stations, but I forgot who
who's going in other directions. Well, the owners, you mean?
Yeah, no, the stations were bought by other entities, and
out of state or?
Yeah, I think actually they're being more towards Pennsylvania now, but the transmitters are in Port Jervis and still operating for those particular stations. I think it was WDLC was one of the stations. It was an AM and it was an FM.
Nice.
Yeah, but again, it hasn't had an over-the-air radio station that they could call their own in over 20 years. You know where Royal Furniture is?
Yes, they're actually located sort of diagonally from us.
Yeah, they're right next to you. Yeah. Well, the original owner, I forgot what his name was, but he was the owner of the two radio stations, and he's passed on, and I guess the radio stations too passed on.
Well, I think, you know, as part of the revitalization of Port Jervis, I think every community needs to have a radio station, a local radio station.
I do. I totally agree with you. Right now, you know, the situation in the United States is one company can run 1,300 stations from one spot, so there's no individuality. Wherever you're listening to the radio, you don't know what's happening in the community. You can't talk to community people. It's all homogenized. It's all the same information.
Yeah,
I'm totally with you on that.
Go ahead.
It's very necessary to have because, you know, you need to not just focus on what might be the news of the day in mainstream media, but I feel that the purpose of a local radio station is more to represent the community and the members of the community, and similar to what you're doing here on this incredible show.
Well, that's why there's not such a big opportunity. Thank God there is internet radio, and if the local people support it, and if people want to listen anywhere, they can. So
The support, similar to the businesses that invest in an area, the support comes from what you're offering. So, you know, you may have a radio station, be it traditional or internet radio, and it's not really focused on the issues of the community. Right. You have no interest in that. You know, if they're following the blueprint of what a typical radio station focuses on.
Exactly.
What I'm talking about is having some of that, but also balancing it with, you know, radio stations should be serving the purpose of the community.
Definitely.
So it should be highlighting communities, even if it's social justice issues of a community or educating that
community.
Watch out.
Now we can't talk
politics.
Educating the community.
just for our audience, I just want to say, before we started the show, I said, what is there any taboo subjects? And he said, I don't want to talk politics. And then, of course, I had to say, what isn't politics? Everything is politics.
Yeah. So, you know, it would be nice to have that as a community asset, wherever radio stations are locally, because not just community issues, but there are a lot of community businesses that, similar to the conversation Rio and I were having earlier as the potential follow-up guest, there are a lot of businesses. I always feel like the media, the news, you know, internet, whatever it is, highlights and reports the things that are not always the most
positive.
So it would be refreshing to have a series or interviews or just highlighting local businesses, what they do, why they're there, what's their mission, what do they see for the community, you know, that sort of thing.
Definitely.
And it brings awareness because, I mean, we're in Port Jervis and it's beautiful, but every day someone walks in who lives there and they never heard about you. So the radio may be a way to help also connect people to businesses that are coming in, especially new ones that they're not familiar with.
So then in your travels from Milford to Port Jervis, what you were looking for a place and then you found this place?
Yeah, we were looking around. Actually, the story, to be honest, we got to a place where we were getting a little frustrated, Dawn Marie and I, because we had not announced that we were going to leave Milford yet. We were considering it. We sort of had decided we were going to make the move. But because we're very meticulous and we try to be, you know, very low-key with what we do and we're not about ego or anything like that, we sort of wanted to be sure 100% that we were going to move and that it was going to work out before we even mentioned it to even family members, you know. And the last day, you know, we were running out of time. So it came to a point where as the transition of ownership was about to occur, that was our benchmark, personal benchmark, that we set by this date. We have to decide, are we going to stay here and continue on for another year or two, or are we going to take a leap of faith and uproot everything and go somewhere else? So the last day before that benchmark moment came, you know, we looked at a few recommendations. We didn't see anything that we felt, other than visibility for us, it has to have a more deeper connection. Like, we have to feel a spiritual connection to the space, to the wherever it is. It's not just about economics for us, you know. It's deeper than that. It's further than that. So that last day, we, you know, I said to Dawn Marie, why don't we go out to Port Jervis and drive around? Because not everyone, I'm a child of the 70s. I grew up in the Caribbean, and, you know, people did things. Sean and I talk about that a lot when he comes to the shop. People did things hands-on. It was a handshake. It was your word. It was, you know, visiting a store in person. That's how the energy was shared. I said to Dawn Marie, you know, most folks may use traditional forms of advertisement, and there are many that still don't. So let's drive around, and maybe we'll see something where it has a for rent in the window, you know, and it's not listed anywhere. It's just some private owner renting a space. Uh-huh. And, you know, here we are.
And
we
then did bingo.
That, and we went down the street that we were familiar with, where, you know, Foundry 42, right. You know, hello to our friends, Foundry 42 and Fogwood. We went down that block, which is considered the main street in Port Jervis for businesses. We didn't see anything available. There were no vacancies. There was something a bit south of there that didn't really align. And as we were leaving Port Jervis, I had said, let's just make one last round. Mm-hmm. And we turned onto Pike Street, and right on the corner of Pike and Ball, you know, 85 Pike Street was vacant. And we looked at the space. It was a commercial space. It looked like very bare bones, nothing special happening in there. And I said to Dawn Marie, let's call the number, you know. And her response initially was, well, it's an office space, you know, but, you know, going back to our life as a contractor, someone who does renovations, you know, we can transform any space.
Right.
And here we are now, almost a year later, at 85 Pike Street.
It's a beautiful space,
thanks.
Too. We built it's not that as ourself. Big as what you had over there, but still, it's just, you've got it packed with so much charm. It's just beautiful.
Yeah, thanks. You know, we had the opportunity at 85 Pike Street to create an environment that we had full control of, you know, from design. So what you see, what you experience is breathless. I built myself with my own hands, designed it myself. Dawn Marie was my co-partner in a lot of the process, because we didn't have the team and the crew like we had if it was a knickknacks project. It was a sort of a personal DIY sort of thing.
Right.
And we worked with Port Jervis contractors. So, you know, that part was kind of cool that you had to choose contractors from within the Port Jervis network.
Oh, really? Cool. Do they have a law on that?
It's sort of like a stipulation. So if you're coming in and you have to do trades that are electric, plumbing, even general contractor,
you have to hire within the area with their
contractors in order to be permitted to do the work.
That's interesting, that's isn't it? Yeah. Sean, tell us about your experience, because I know you've been under a lot of stress. Sean had a bridge that collapsed, and this bridge was very important for him to actually get to his house. So he had to go wading through a stream. Not actually, but kind of. And so there was a lot of stress happening. Finally, you got through that a little bit, but
we got the temporary bridge right now.
Got the temporary bridge now. So tell the audience your experience over there at Breathless.
Well, no, I was really happy to see that anything that's coming into the community that, you know, that is dealing with juicing and raw foods and cleansing and that type of thing. Because in New York City, you have it all over. You know what I mean? We've had it for a long time in New York City. So it was great to see that, because there's nothing there. I mean, there was your place in Milford, which was a little bit more out of the way for us to get to. Right. We drive through Port Jervis all the time just to get to the city.
right.
when we have to go to the city and stuff like that, or just to go to Matamoros, to go to Home Depot, to go to Lowe's and all that. So, I've been in there a few times, as you know, and then I was like, I said to myself, man, I've been under all this stress. I wonder if he can, like, because I don't, my place, I got the bridge problem. My house is collapsing too. I was having problems with my house, the roof and the inside construction I had to do. And I said, maybe they can just hook me up for the week and make me when I need it, just hook me up and I can do a juice fast. And Nick came through with 6-day cleanse juices. And it's been helpful.
And it really did you good. I could tell.
It's been helpful.
You need more, of course, but it's still, it did you good. You could tell.
Yeah. Well, I also gained a lot of weight. So, you know, I got to reduce that weight. Well, from eating, stress, and all that type of thing. So to have somebody who could just make it for me, you know, is like, that was a real blessing for me. Especially since my kitchen was a mess, construction, all this type of stuff going on. So, it's been good. The juices are good. They're excellent. He gives me, you know, a substantial amount. That's what I really need because my body's craving it. That's the other thing with juices. I notice if I don't drink juice on the regular, then my body just doesn't feel the same. So it's like, let's say I haven't drank juice for a month and all of a sudden I drink juice. It's like, my body is like relieved. Oh man, I'm glad I got this juice.
We trained you well, huh? We are the people that have 16 ounces of juice every day, the first thing.
Yeah.
Not in the morning, but about noon.
Yeah.
First thing.
And it's so important, you know, for this juicing is just a very healing way to take care of yourself on a regular basis.
Yeah, one of the benefits of juice, as you know, Rio, is it tends to go straight to your bloodstream faster than anything else. So it's liquid food, liquid energy.
Absorption
rate is higher.
Right.
You know, so similar
to
like
nutrients,
water.
More nutrients in there very quickly.
Very quickly. And you can, with you saying, it's sort of like one of those things where nothing goes to waste. So Sean even takes the pulp of the juice that we make for him and uses it in his own way. And we use the pulp sometimes for compost or for gardening or for sometimes even culinary stuff. So, you know, there's so many benefits of juicing, period.
So are you using the pulp for your dog?
Yeah, I'll mix the ground beef with the pulp from the juice and I'll mix it together and I'll trick the dog and that's how I get him to eat his vegetables.
Do you see Sean, when you do that, do you see like have you seen a benefit or a change in the dogs? Like,
yeah, I've been doing that for a long time. Like whenever I would make juice, I would just take the pulp and do it. So yeah, my dog he's maybe about 8, but you know, everybody thinks he's like 3 because he's got so much raw energy. Oh, man.
What kind of dog
is
it?
And because he's a rascal.
Yeah, he's a golden retriever.
Okay, on the golden retriever, we're going to take a break and we'll be right back. So you've been listening to the Catskills Renaissance and you've been getting the story of how a beautiful business came to be in our community here. And we hope that you stay for the third part because we're going to talk about Nick's singing career and his writing. So stay with us for the third segment.
My name is Lee Criso. My partner Rio is an author, health researcher, and promoter of adding more raw and unprocessed foods to your diet. In times like these, the best way to stay healthy is to get boosted. No, I'm not talking about the jab. I'm talking about Rio's book, Hooked on Raw, that teaches you how to boost your immune system, strive for optimum health, look better, feel better, and stay on the path to rejuvenation. The book has over 325 pages, full of power recipes along with valuable life-changing information. When you purchase Hooked on Raw for only $29.95, I'm going to also include Rio's DVD, What's Not Cooking in Rio's Kitchen, a $19.95 value, absolutely free. Go to hookedonraw.com to order this limited special. That's hookedonraw.com. You'll be glad you did. That's HookedOnRaw.com.
Welcome back. You've been listening to the Catskills Renaissance. My name is Rio. My co-host is Lee Grizzo. Our son stopped by, so he's sitting in. That's Sean. And our guest is Nick Dillon of this beautiful little store that opened in Port Jervis, Breathless Raw Live Juice Bar. And we're so grateful that he found the place in Port Jervis. Oh, one thing I did want to ask you that you mentioned, you said that Port Jervis is very diverse. And does that mean that in Milford it's not as diverse as in Port Jervis?
Oh, yeah, absolutely not. If you look at the demographic of Port Jervis and its wide diversity of ethnic backgrounds, you know, it supersedes what's the demographic of Milford.
And, really?
And even in terms of economic bracket, you know, you have more what we would say real regular people in Port Jervis than you may find in Milford. You know, Milford's community is a
more
bit
highfalutin.
Older. Sorry,
Are we saying they're more highfalutin?
I wouldn't say those words.
I'm teasing. Just, hey, Milford, I'm teasing.
Yeah, I think
yes, please, Lee.
I think the even the vision for what Milford has become, we are residents of Milford. So we live not in the town, but on the, you know, in the hillside, the outer version in what's the township. So Milford right. has its township and its, so we're residents, homeowners in the town, in the township. And if you just look, that's just the truth. If you look at the even the businesses that are in Milford, outside of probably Tequila Sunrise and our friend Chef Jacob and maybe Key Food Supermarkets with our friend Junior Zaid or the shop in Milford with Ahmed and ourselves, there's very few presence or evidence of diversity or even in its commercial district. So when you come to Port Jervis and you just walk around, you see so many different nationalities present as not just businesses, but members of the community, members of the public utilities, you know, it's clearly more diverse.
Wow, interesting. Okay, I didn't know that. You know why? I'm stuck on my farm all the time. I'm stuck on the farm. I never get out.
Yeah,
I never get out and see, but now with you, you're going to give me a bunch of people to interview.
Yeah.
I'm going to find out what's going on around here.
So, Nick.
Yes, go ahead, Lee.
No, I was going to say Nick sent me three great songs that he wrote. Nick is a talented songwriter and singer. So let's talk about how did you get into music and your recording career?
Great question. Thanks for asking that. We were born in Trinidad and Tobago, which is southernmost Caribbean island in the Caribbean.
Excuse my ignorance, but Trinidad and Tobago, is that one place or two places?
It's one country, but it's actually two physical land masses. So we're a twin island republic.
Oh, okay.
So Trinidad is the bigger, if you look at it on a map, you know, geographically, Trinidad, even though it's a small country, 1.6 million or more by now, that's the more commercial element. And Tobago, the sister isle, is the more scenic tourist type, you know, agriculture type environment.
Oh,
so
okay.
Trinidad, because it's a very oil-rich country and many natural resources are part of what we contribute to the world, tends to stand out much more. And, you know, if you're going to Trinidad, you're going for either a carnival or investing as a business, whereas if you go to Tobago, you're definitely going for the sun and surf.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Thank you for explaining that.
The question was how I got into music.
Right.
We were raised by our grandparents in Trinidad and Tobago. We are a child of the 70s. And at 3 years old, my grandparents introduced me to the piano. It was an instrument originally bought for my mom, who never completed the music journey. And it still sits in our home in Trinidad. And at 3 years old, you know, I was introduced to the piano. In our community, we had a school of music. and she's deceased now, but the teacher was Sylvia Robin, one of the most reputable in the island and in the Caribbean at the time. And we went through various stages of learning there, examinations by the Royal Schools of Music in England as we went along. And, you know, that took us through adolescent age into teenage years. We grew up in a church environment, so we were always present around the choir, and my grandfather was an avid singer in the church and that sort of a thing. So the music career, we put on hold for about 25 years because, you know, we came to America, suitcase and a dream, sort of. Right. Had a family. The family increased to, you know, where we are now, parents of 8 children.
8?
And, yeah.
Oh,
music,
boy.
Music was not something
that was on the
that was practical,
list,
you know. There was no way you could sustain a family on music. So
it's so unfortunate,
yeah,
though.
Yeah, so, you know, and honestly, at that time, I had no interest in, I sort of resented music in a way, not music, but the piano particularly, because I was sort of forced to learn it. I never really wanted to learn the piano.
Oh.
Or did I ever really truly enjoy the experience? It was just something, you know, your parents, Sean, you could relate, your parents tell you you have to do it. So once I was a teenager,
oh, yes.
I started to become rebellious against the piano, and, you know, I didn't want to go to the lessons, and I wouldn't go, and I picked up soccer, which became a passion even until a few years ago. And, you know, soccer was the thing that I was really interested in back then. But again, not something that could sustain you as a young parent, you know, as someone seeing a future 30 years ahead of where you were at the time. So we took a break from music. We supported music along the years, you know, present in festivals and shows, and we are friends with a lot of musicians, so we'd always be around music, and we were an avid collector of music. But in 2017, which is fast forwarding, Dawn Marie Breathless purchased a guitar for me as a gift, and had said, you know, while we lived in New York City, I know you always wanted to learn the guitar and, like, you know, play the guitar, because it was always something. The only instrument that I was fascinated with outside of percussion, drums and stuff, was the guitar. I always, because of Bob Marley's influence, I always wanted to play the guitar. So she bought me this Washburn from a local place in Milford, because we support local businesses. Right. And it sat in the house for maybe 2 years, collecting dust. You know, I take beautiful guitar, beautiful case. I just didn't have the interest in music, you know. And at the time, we were still very hands-on in our renovations business and trying to keep the store in Milford going. And, you know, I just looked at it as, no, I'm not really interested. So I was traveling overseas, and Dawn had said, you know, I'm sad that you don't really try to play the guitar. You don't seem as interested in it as I thought you were. And, you know, over the years of marriage, she's always been so calm and, you know, understanding. And it was sort of rare for her to speak out about something. She wasn't upset, but she spoke out about how she felt. And while I was on the flight, you know, I thought about it and I felt kind of bad and said, you know, it's true. Like, it's a beautiful guitar. I didn't even try to play it. I just opened it twice, probably. So I said to her, you know, when I come back from the trip, I'll pick up the guitar and I'll, you know, try to be more interested and show more appreciation for it. And she said, well, I'll do even better than that if you keep your promise. I will pay for you to get some lessons, so that, you know, it's sort of like, I had an idea of how to play, but I was never professionally trained like I was in the piano. So she paid for some lessons, had someone come to the juice bar. The only way you would get me to do it was, you know, it had to be a personal, private, one-on-one kind of thing because of my schedule and limitations right. on time and all of that. So right. that was a very interesting journey because it didn't go on very long. You know, the rudiments of music is something we were schooled in. So we're very familiar, even though we may not play an instrument, we know, you know, what music should sound like. We know the resonancy.
That's so interesting.
That sort of a thing. And I just know that I have an ability, a gift.
It's like osmosis or something?
It's sort of it's frequency, you know. We're spiritually connected, so it's, you know, it's a frequency. And, It's like playing by ear, like someone who can't read a music sheet, but they can play an instrument.
Wow.
And if you know, it's similar. So I picked up the guitar and I came back in our bedroom. And no, I went through the lessons with the individual. I think I did 3 lessons. And then the second one, when I came home, Dawn Marie asked me, "What's wrong? You don't look very like happy or anything." I'm like, "Well, I feel like the instructor is, you know, treating me like I'm 2 years old. Like, you know, I understand you have to learn the basics, but because of my musical background, I think some of the fundamental things that he was trying to drive home, he was spending way too much time on that." Mm-hmm. And I wasn't feeling like encouraged to, you know, to go on. And there was one occasion where I went home and after a lesson, and I started to pick away at a Bob Marley song from the hearing, knowing what it sounds like.
By ear.
And it was really sung in grade. And I was excited to share it with my teacher for the third lesson. And when he came for the third lesson and I played it, he didn't have the same level of
enthusiasm
as I had expected he would have for a student who you're teaching.
Who's only had two lessons.
Yeah, because you showed him that you could do it on your own.
Yeah, very quickly. And, you know, so Dawn Marie had said...
He should have been thrilled. Should
I would have hoped so.
Yeah.
But Dawn Marie, you know, everyone's different and it's okay because here we are now. Even contrary to his closing remarks, as I would put it, you know. So Dawn Marie said to him, you know, Nick is a guy who's very focused and very self-driven. And if you don't keep it enthusiastic or interesting, he's not going to do the lessons. Because I feel like I could be doing something way better with my time than just playing the same 6 strings for an hour.
Right.
You know, and he didn't take much heed to that. He actually was offended by, you know, the fact that we felt we were only asking him to show me more, you know, put more pressure on me, make it more interesting, you know.
Yeah.
And I said, you know, let's just cut ways right here. And we had lessons that were already paid for, yet to do. And I told him, you know, we don't want a credit or anything or a refund. You could keep the money, but I just feel like this is
just
not a good...
Just keep the money and leave.
Yeah, it's not a good relationship because,
no,
you know,
I resonate with that because who was I trying to learn some song? Oh, well, there's this one song that I wanted to learn, right? And I went to Joe, you know who.
Yeah.
Okay.
Uh-oh, we went to Joe, you know who.
You know who. And, you know, I wanted to learn a particular song. I was really interested in learning a particular one. And he insisted on teaching me this other song that I had no interest in. So I resonate with you on that, because why not teach, even if it would take me longer to learn that one, but that's the one I'm interested in. Teach me that one.
Yeah, that's a very interesting point, because as parents, you're a parent also, you know, you would know that, like for me, for example, my academic journey, I went to school for law and political science. That's what I'm supposed to have been doing. That's what I was groomed for as a child. You know, our family background is all attorneys and that sort of thing. And that, you know, always in that judiciary type environment. So my grandparents' investment in me academically was to continue in that direction. But I had no interest in that, really. I always wanted to be creative. I always wanted to play soccer, do the cool things that were, you know, came from your ability more than your training, per se. So, you know, we parted ways with the gentleman, and his parting words were, "You would never make it in music because you don't understand. You have to learn it this way." And I said, "Well, you know, let's see where the journey takes me, and I'm sure I'll prove you wrong." And here we are.
That's the words of somebody who never could make it in music.
Yeah, I think, you know, you can't be discouraging. So I was saying, as a parent, if you have a child, to Rio's point, who is interested in a particular thing, like we raise our children that way, you're not going to be forced to do a juice bar business because we have a juice bar business, or you're not going to be forced to sing because I sing. It's what you want to do. And I feel like same way in music, because even working with producers, you would know, engineers, a lot of times you come to a studio with pre-written lyrics. You know, we tend to create our lyrics in the moment. I never really write the music down. It's sort of what I feel in the moment that comes to light, the meditations of my heart. So similar, you know, you have producers, Lee, who shoot you down right away, and they you know, they're not very encouraging because
they're
not way.
You're not doing what their vision is.
Yeah.
I'm really enthusiastic about the music that you've written.
Thanks so much.
You sent it to me the other day, and we're going to play some of it now. So what do you think the first song we should play is? And tell us a little about it.
Well, thanks so much. The first song we should feature is our newest release, our newest single, and it's a collaboration with One Culture. It's called, it's titled Ja Will Be There, Ja Will Be There. And it's available on all digital outlets. We released that song last Friday, the 23rd of June. This is a very personal and special song, not just for me, but it's a spiritual tonic for the world. And we hope that it comes across as a refuge in this time that we're going through in the world, you know. And it's a song of praise. It's a song of courage. It's a song of endurance and resilience. So Ja Will Be There, especially mixed and recorded by Third Island Productions in Virginia Beach. So a special thank you to our brother Kurt Johnson, Connor Johnson, and John Kwan Studios for creating the music.
And you're performing the name that you perform under?
So we are performing name is The Original Reverence.
Okay. Thank you.
So Ja Will Be There by The Original Reverence and One Culture.
will be there in everything I do. Ah, that has such a good feel to it.
I really like that melody, and the lyrics are soothing and comforting.
What's next up on our Nick playlist?
So next up, you know, we have another project that we worked with One Culture and Third Island Productions, and it's called Wicked Need Love. And it's a track that appears number 9. I'm featured on the track, and it's off of the Forward Always album that was the sophomore album released last November by One Culture. And we actually traveled to Virginia to perform for the album release show at Scandals Live, which was a beautiful experience. So Wicked Need Love, and that features One Culture, Mellow Dose, and myself, the original Reverence.
We must seek love for the benefit and for the salvation of mankind. One Culture, original Reverence, Mellow Dose, Ash. Set the whole world to threaten. Oh, what a shame, what a shame. They think they have the most control, or so they do claim. Good thing that we are not all asleep. With love in our hearts, our blood runs deep. Hate and greed is the best thing they know, because their hearts are cold as snow. It's time to give love a try. It starts with you and I. This you can't deny. Why is the wicked heart so cold? Consumed by grudge, hatred rules their soul. It's time to give love a try. This you can't deny. Love never dies. The wicked ain't on the of the blame. Let no hate in our hearts linger. Love is the healing of the nations. Love eradicates the pain. No more pointing of the finger. No more passing of the blame. Let no hate in our hearts linger. Love is the healing of the nations. Love eradicates the pain. So
The wicked need love. Oh my gosh, that is deep. You really have to open your heart.
And sometimes that's hard to do.
I'm becoming a fan of your lyrics and music.
We're all fans. We're going to have to get your autograph. All right. Okay, and for our last song, what are we going to hear?
So for our last song, Seashells, which is arguably the most popular release we've done up until Ja Will Be There, the song we featured first. Seashells 2, again, a collaboration with One Culture and Third Island Productions. But this version is a redone version of the original. So when we re-entered music in 2017 as the original Reverence, our first song was called We Are the Wi-Fi. There's a beautiful music video on Facebook for that. And then we did Seashells as our second song. But over the period of progression, we felt it was necessary to revisit Seashells. It was always a very popular song, even in the original version. And we revisited the song and we redid it completely with all live instruments, you know, the One Culture band. So what you're going to hear next is Seashells 2. Okay. I would say now our second most popular song.
Listening to seashells as I pray.
Wow, that's really great. I'll never think of seashells the same way.
Thanks so much.
Out of these three, I still like the jaw.
What jaw will be there.
Yes.
All right.
Does that mean jaw? What does jaw mean?
So jaw for us, we're Rastafarian liberty or Rastafarian faith or religion. Yes. Love is our religion, so right. We don't have a religion per se. But Jah is what we refer to the Creator as. So Jah would be equivalent to Jehovah or God or you know.
Right.
It's the same.
Like the Creator.
The Creator. So for us Rastafarians, you know, Jah, Rastafari, Haile Selassie the First, that's how we refer to our God and King.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
I kind of intuited that. It's a beautiful song. So tell us, Nick, about Dawn Marie and her painting, or do you paint too? Do you do watercolors too?
So that's a beautiful question, and thank you for asking about her amazing work. So Dawn Marie,
I saw some of it. Yeah, I was looking you up.
her art sobriquet or her art title is called Channeling Through Spirit, and as the word says, it's channeling the art vibrations through spiritual experience and connections, and not spiritual meaning religious, but spiritual meaning earth frequency, Mother Earth vibrations.
Right.
And so Dawn Marie is the watercolor specialist, and I collaborate with her at times, even for watercolor pieces, because I draw as well.
Uh-huh.
So in that regard, I would draw a piece for her. She does a lot of portraits as well, and I would draw the portrait for her in pencil, and then Dawn Marie would bring it to life in color.
With
the watercolors. Watercolor is not her only medium. She does all sorts of mediums: water, oil, ink, charcoal, pastel, all sorts of mediums. And she also teaches different elements of watercolor painting. So
I saw that she has meetings where people come, and then even people that don't paint at all, and she just inspires them to pick up and
That's based on her personal journey as an artist, because you know, for 20 years or so, we would joke, you know, our children and our family members would joke with her and say, you know, she could only draw a stick man, or she calls it the guy behind the dresser. Or when I was growing up, we call it Kirby. I don't know if you guys know about that, but
no.
the drawing of the guy behind the barrel or the dresser was called Kirby in the Caribbean. And she did, that's all she could draw until one day, you know, she picked up the pencil, and like music, you know, what you open your heart to, you know, the universe takes you on a beautiful journey.
Wow.
And she teaches as well. So she's done many classes, at the Art Factory of White Mills, which is in Shahola, I believe. And she also does independent classes at venues. So she did a class right here in, or close to here, in Pond Eddy at the Empty Nest Restaurant, we're friends with. So salute and shout out to Empty Nest, Tanya and Marlon. And at our own location, the new one, she did many at the old one, many classes for the community, for adults, for children. At our new location at 85 Pike Street, Port Jervis, Breathless Raw Life Juice Bar, she's done a paper making class for the children of Port Jervis, and an art class. I think that was in February or April of this year. Our first art class in that location. First of many more to come.
Now, this is what I find very intriguing. You have your Breathless business. You have your music business. You have your art business. You have 8 children.
That means he has time for monkey business.
For sure.
We have the renovations business.
And now, have you retired that, or are you still doing that?
So renovations is something we were involved in the Caribbean, not in the hands-on version of incarnation as we were here in the United States. Or in the divided states, but
right. Why, that's politics.
Don't talk politics.
Nick,
we caught you.
You know, you have to keep it interesting,
right.
Tongue in cheek. So,
So you still find the time to do it?
Retired from it.
Oh, okay. Because what I was gonna say is, if you want something done, find somebody that's very busy and they will do it for you.
Right. Yeah, we retired from it because, not just because of a need to, but because, you know, part of our trajectory of our life, of course, no one knows what the next minute or tomorrow is going to bring. But for us, we always try to think futuristically. And, you know, I never wanted to be in my 60s or 70s like a lot of the tradesmen that I grew up around and I was supervising in the Caribbean and even that we employed. I saw that in renovations, you know, you can become locked into it for life. And, you know, the effects it has on your body, even my body, the erosion of your body, you know, from what renovations demands from you physically. Because I was hands-on, not just a principal, but hands-on as well. And if you look up Nick Nack's Creative Interiors on the internet, on the reviews, it echoes Nick a lot. Because in those days, it was me doing a lot of the work.
Wow.
And as we expanded into a bigger company with more projects and more employees, it took a not just a physical toll, but a mental, emotional, and a domestic toll, because, you know, it took me away from the family for long periods of time. And if you have to deal with New York in a commercial way, it can be very traumatic on you.
Yeah, very stressful.
So we sort of planned an exit, and Breathless was the plan for us to sort of ease out of renovations into something that we were still passionate about, but didn't require as much physical effort and had more yield in terms of satisfaction. Like the returns in the juice bar business or in the retail business or even in music far supersedes that in the renovation. So you do a beautiful apartment or a beautiful commercial space and you walk away and the homeowner or the customer enjoys it, but there's no connection beyond that unless you come back and do another project. Whereas if you come to the juice bar, like Sean's experience, and you're going through a condition in your life or you're going through something, you don't even have to buy anything. I want folks to know, you know, the juice bar is not just a juice bar. Breathless Raw Life Juice Bar, 85 Pike Street, Port Jervis, is more of a community center. So it's a place where we want people to feel, especially if you live in Port Jervis. We design and build the space to be a beautiful environment for people to feel proud about owning, having something like that in their community.
Yes.
And, you know, like we talked about Milford before, not a place that alienated the less visible members of the community. You know, we wanted it to be a place where anyone from any walk of life, whether high or low, felt they could come into the juice bar, feel part of it, feel accepted there. And you don't have to buy anything. You know, we encourage people to use the space, enjoy the ambiance, the plants, you know, learn about product on the shelves. And we always have a free fruit box at our point of sale for anyone. You don't have to buy anything. So
that's wonderful. Did you hear that, people?
Stop by and grab an apple or a banana.
You have to stop by this breathless raw live juice bar for sure and meet Nick. Now you know something about him. You can, just from listening to him, you can feel what his heart is. And his heart is in this community of diversity. And we're so happy to have you here.
Thank you.
Thank you for being with us.
Thanks so much for having us on the show. It's been an honor to be here.
You've been listening to the Catskills Renaissance. My name is Rio, my co-host Lee Quiso. We'll be back next time. Nick is going to give me a lot of leads of all different interesting people in and around Port Jervis. So I'm looking forward to that for sure. Don't forget to tune in to CatskillsRadioTV.com and NY Talk Radio. And until next time, stay in tune with nature and you'll be in tune with yourself.